The Public News Service Daily Newscast, July the 21st, 2021. I'm Mike Clifford. A new report finds that county jails made more than $9 million off of payments made for phone calls by incarcerated people the year before and during the pandemic.
The report by Mike Harmon, the state's auditor of public accounts, examined more than 70 county jails' communication services and equipment contracts that were active between July 2019 and last November. Smart Justice organizer and coordinator at the ACLU of Kentucky, Marcus Jackson, says inmates' families foot the bill for marked-up prices on a number of services, including food purchased from commissary vendors. He adds that it's commonplace for jails to receive financial perks from vendors.
No one that's incarcerated has the money to pay these high phone bills. It's their family members that are already in bad situations and barely making it paycheck to paycheck that are also paying taxes that's paying these high bills.
Jackson adds that in addition to financial burdens, high costs for phone calls cause emotional distress and make it harder for inmates and their families to maintain social ties, all of which research shows can boost successful reentry into society. Some municipalities, such as New York City, have introduced legislation to provide communication services in jails and prisons at no cost. Nadia Ramlagan reporting.
Legal aid groups are urging residents to know their rights to a fair court process as tenants and also to apply for rental assistance if they're struggling to make their housing payments.
The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention's federal eviction moratorium is set to expire at the end of the month, and attorney Marta Hergen with 603 Legal Aid says while there's no data on exactly how many people are being protected by the moratorium, there's likely to be a large uptick in evictions for unpaid rent due to loss of income during the pandemic or reduction of hours.
People are waiting 4 to 6 weeks, sometimes longer, for money to come through from the New Hampshire Rental Assistance Funds. So that combined with New Hampshire's low vacancy rate certainly has us concerned.
The New Hampshire Emergency Rental Assistance Program estimates it's provided more than $23 million in funds to more than 3,600 residents. I'm Lily Bolke reporting.
Politico reports Tom Barrack, a longtime supporter and advisor to former President Trump, was arrested Tuesday on charges that he secretly acted in the U.S. as an agent for the United Arab Emirates. The report, Barrack is accused of failing to register as a foreign agent, conspiracy, obstruction of justice, and 4 counts of making false statements to the FBI. This is PNS. Beginning last week, thousands of Virginia families with kids saw more money in their bank accounts, that as the federal government started distributing child tax credit payments to eligible families.
Vilma Hernandez-Morales is a mother of 4 with 3 children younger than 17 who qualify for the monthly payments. A legal resident of Loudoun County, originally from El Salvador, she supports her entire family by babysitting and taking on part-time jobs. Her daughter Esmeralda says they will use the money for everyday expenses that have piled up during the pandemic.
The way she would use it would be in medical situations. She has to pay for food, for clothing, for supplies.
A year and a half after the pandemic started, many Virginia families sorely need the extra cash, particularly Latino families. I'm Diane Bernard.
As offices and businesses begin to open their doors after the COVID-19 shutdown, a new guidebook offers ways for CEOs and other commuters to lower their carbon footprints.
Transportation recently eclipsed power generation as the single largest contributor of greenhouse gas pollution in Colorado. Carlos Fernandez with the Nature Conservancy in Colorado says as companies consider making telework permanent and other policy changes, the guide provides detailed best practices for reducing the number of cars on the road.
This handbook will provide a wider range of transportation options on how to be, really thoughtful about establishing kind of the new normal.
For work that can't be done from home, the handbook addresses practical challenges for incorporating public transportation, bicycles, electric vehicles, and carpooling into organizational culture. I'm Eric Galatas.
And finally, Emily Scott tells us a new report demonstrates why the last decade's natural gas boom in Pennsylvania, Ohio, and West Virginia fell below expectations and did not generate a large growth in jobs or incomes in the region.
A companion report, both from the Ohio River Valley Institute, examines a model in Washington State from which local leaders in the region can learn to help transition their economies. Sean O'Leary of the Ohio River Valley Institute says that as the mining sector increased and local GDP skyrocketed, jobs in this so-called Fracalacha area increased by just 1.6% during this period, combined with a population loss of 37,000.
It means that not only has the natural gas industry not produced jobs and prosperity to a significant degree so far, but that it's structurally incapable of doing so in the future as well.
This is Mike Clifford for Public News Service. Member and listener supported, heard on interesting radio stations, and look for our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.